Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk to you about Russia's announcement that it's cutting back on its production by 500,000 barrels per day. Now, Russia has stated that this action is in direct response to the price cap because they don't want to deal with any countries who are signing up to the price cap, and therefore they're reducing their capacity. So the way that it's been presented to the market, Russia is saying that we won't provide this supply and we're going to withhold our oil. But in today's episode, I really want to dig down into that and look at what's been going on with regards to Russia's oil sales. Look at what the impact of the price cap that was brought in against crude oil on the 5th of December was, plus the EU ban that also came in on that day. And then on top of that, we've also got the new price cap that applies to all refined products and the European ban to those products as well. So we'll go through the detail of what's been happening with Russian oil sales over the course of the last month or so. And then I'll project forward to estimate what I think the impact of these price caps and bans will be over the course of the next 3 to 6 months and what the implications of that will be for Russia's production. Once we've been through all of that, we'll then talk about what the implications of this are for Russia's production, because cutting back on your production is not a simple thing to do because Russia doesn't have anywhere to store oil. So it's having to sell all the oil it's bringing out the ground. So if it's cutting back on its sales, that means that it's actually going to have to stem the flow of that oil, and therefore that could have some really serious implications on the production going forward. And then we'll talk about the financial aspects of losing the sale of 500,000 barrels per day, and then whether or not it's possible that Russia may need to cut back its production further as we go through 2023. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of this announcement are for Russia's oil and gas industry and also for the Russian economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if you haven't got time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. It helped me to buy this sign. Now, I'm often accused of not putting any light relief into these videos, of it being a little bit doom and gloom and a bit depressing. So I thought I'd show you what the sign can do. Now, some people have also said that this now looks like a lounge bar, some sort of drinking establishment, maybe a den of ill repute. And just to make it even more like that, I thought I'd just put this on for a second. We have a flashing sign for a brief moment. So anyway, hopefully that's brought a little bit of light relief before we get into the detail. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak has announced that Russia will cut its oil production by 500,000 barrels per day, or around 5% of output, in March. As of today, we are fully selling the entire volume of oil produced. However, as stated earlier, we will not sell to those who directly or indirectly adhere to the principles of the price cap, Novak said in a statement. In this regard, Russia will voluntarily reduce production by 500,000 barrels per day. This will contribute to the restoration of market relations. Russia's decision to cut oil production was announced only 9 days after an OPEC Plus panel, in which Russia is a member, endorsed the oil producers group's current output policy, leaving production cuts agreed last year in place. And these cuts related to around 2% of OPEC Plus's output. Now, I think it's really interesting that Russia have blamed the price cap for this production cut, because when we've looked at the price of oil that Russia has been selling at, they've actually been selling at below the price cap. And in a moment, we'll have a look at the data, which shows us what the impact of the European ban has been compared to the price cap. And we'll be able to work out which has been the bigger influence in terms of the reduction in the sales of Russian oil. But before we do that, I just wanted to talk about the economics of cutting back on 500,000 barrels of oil per day. So the price cap that Russia is allowed to sell that oil at has been set at $60. So if we apply $60 to all 500,000 barrels, that equates to $30 million of revenue that Russia is losing per day. So that's over $10 billion over the course of 365 days. So that's a serious amount of cash that Russia is cutting off. But of course, the implications are not just about what they're losing in terms of the sales in the market. There are knock-on implications of that. Firstly, we've got the production issues, and we'll go on to talk about those later in the video because they can be quite serious and could have long-term implications for Russia's oil and gas industry. Secondly, we've got the associated revenue. So if you've been following the channel, you'll know that we recently looked at the results for January. And in those results, Russia publishes its income directly from oil and gas. So that relates to the shares that it owns in the oil and gas companies. But in addition to that income, there's also a lot of VAT and income tax that relate directly to the oil and gas industry. So when Russia sees a fall in its overall sales and the volume of its production, that means that in addition to the direct revenue it's losing, it will also lose income in relation to all of the taxes applied to that industry. And in addition to that, there's also the implications for the refinery businesses in Russia. And we'll go on to talk about that in a bit more detail as well. But overall, this is obviously really bad news for Russia. They're losing revenue, they're cutting production, and this potentially isn't the last time that we'll hear this sort of announcement, because the price caps and the European bans have only really started to take effect over the course of the last 60 days or so. Now, what I wanted to do in this section of the video is really to assess what the impact of the European ban on the purchase of all oil has been versus the impact of the oil price cap, to really dig down into the data so we can understand exactly what's driven this cut in production from Russia. This chart shows the daily revenue earned by Russia from the sale of crude oil over the course of the last 12 months. And if you follow the channel, I'm sure you'll be familiar with this chart because we've looked at it on a number of occasions. And this is right up until the 5th of February. So this is current data. Now, in terms of the color coding here, the red section at the bottom represents sales to China. And you can see that there's been a gradual increase over the course of the last year. Nothing too dramatic, but definitely a gradual increase. The blue section above it represents sales to the European Union. The green section above that is sales to Egypt. The brown section is sales to India. The grey section is a collection of other countries. The turquoise section is Turkey. The purple section above that is the United States. And the dark red section on the far right-hand side are unclassified sales. So we don't know exactly which countries they're being delivered to. Now, the reason I wanted to show this chart was really to try to establish how many barrels of oil Russia has lost through the European ban. So if we look back at the start of this chart, you can see that the European Union was the largest buyer of Russian oil at that point, and at that stage represented around 60% of all purchases. So that was more than 100 million euros per day. And at that stage, Russia was earning around 225 million euros of revenue per day. But if we look at the situation at the end of November, total sales for Russia were coming in around 300 million euros per day. So a significant increase to where they were at the start of this graph. And at that time, the European Union was still buying a significant amount of oil. However, Russia had ramped up its sales to India and China. You can see that there's a pronounced rise in the red section at the bottom at the end of November, and equally the brown section, which is the Indian sales, there is an increase. So the end of November represented a boom time for Russia. However, if you look at what happened between the end of November and the 5th of February, you can see that there's been a significant drop in revenue. And total revenue is now less than 200 million euros. And the reasons why the revenue has dropped by around 100 million euros over the course of the last month or so is, firstly, the European Union has stopped buying all Russian oil. So you can see that the blue section has disappeared entirely by the 5th of February. But there's also been a reduction in the purchases from China and India. And those purchases don't have anything to do with the price cap, because India and China have not come out and said that they're complying with the price cap. So Russia is quite happily supplying oil to both of those countries. So the drop in volumes from those two countries is entirely unrelated to the new price caps. So in terms of explaining what's happened to the volume of Russian oil sales, let's have a look at the sales price that Russia has been achieving. The average price that Russia was selling oil for on the 30th of November was $67 per barrel. And at that time, Russia was earning around $300 million per day. So that equates to around 4.5 million barrels of crude oil that Russia was selling over the seas every single day. Russia is now earning around 200 million euros of revenue per day. And the price that it's achieving is around $56. So at the current price, Russia is selling around 3.6 million barrels per day. So that represents a differential of 900,000 barrels of oil per day. That's the reduction in the volume of oil that Russia's selling into the markets. Now, if we look at the price for Russian oil on December the 5th, which was the day that the oil price cap came into effect, at that point, Russia was selling its oil at around $63 per barrel. So that's obviously above the $60 price cap. However, if you look at the sales beyond the 5th of December, you can see that Russia has not sold any oil above $60. Now, Russia is saying that it's not complying with the price cap and it will actually ban any country that signs up to it. However, the reality of the situation is that even though Russia is saying that it doesn't agree with the price cap, it's actually selling its oil at less than $60 per barrel. And there have been no reports of any countries being cut off from oil supplies from Russia as a result of signing up to the price cap. So what that's telling us is that the reduction in volume isn't really relating to the price cap, because Russia's happily selling its oil below $60. If Russia was selling all of its oil at $75 and was refusing to supply anybody that wouldn't pay $75, then that would be fine. You could directly link the reduction in volume to the price cap because you could see that there was a relationship there. However, because they're selling their oil at less than $60, that means that the price cap is irrelevant in terms of the drop in volume. And therefore, that indicates that the drop in volume of 900,000 barrels per day is related to the European ban and the difficulty that Russia is having trying to find new markets to replace those lost sales. There was a surge in demand from China and India, but that initial surge has dropped off, and this is now representing a major problem for Russia. And this chart shows the revenue earned by Russia from the sale of refined products. And refined products are things like gasoline and diesel, the things that we use as consumers. So crude oil has to go through a refinery process, and at the end of that process, you then have products that you can put into your vehicles and machinery. And the color coding for this chart is exactly the same as the previous chart. So the red section at the bottom is China. The large blue section is the European Union. We've then got a very small section in green for Egypt, a very small section in brown for India. The grey section is other countries. Turkey's in turquoise, the USA's in purple, and the dark red section on the right-hand side are unclassified sales that we don't actually know which country have bought. And what we can see from this chart is that 12 months ago, Russia was earning around 130 million euros of revenue per day from the sale of refined products. And around three quarters of those sales were being made directly to the European Union. That's the large blue section that you can see. If we now jump forward to the other end of this chart, which is the 5th of February, which is actually the day that the refined oil price cap and the European Union ban came into effect, you can see that there hasn't really been a massive change over the last 12 months. The sales are still coming in at around about 130 million euros per day. And the biggest single buyer is the European Union, which still represents around 60% of all of the revenue that Russia is earning. So that's equating to around 80 million euros per day. And the main reasons for this are, firstly, refined products are more expensive. So countries like China and India don't want to pay a premium. They would rather buy crude oil and do the refining themselves. Secondly, it's more cost effective and easier to take large deliveries of crude oil in these huge tankers and then do the refining yourself, rather than taking lots of smaller deliveries of gasoline and diesel and kerosene. And thirdly, for a lot of countries, they've set up their own refinery businesses, which create employment and income and allow them to control the process themselves. And they can determine exactly what products are refined from the crude to meet their market demands. And because of all of those factors, China and India have not shown any interest in buying large volumes of refined products from Russia. And you can see that on the chart, there hasn't really been a surge in demand from either of those countries. So as it stands at the moment, Russia still has huge exposure to the European Union. Now, as I mentioned, this chart only goes up to the 5th of February, which is actually the date that the European ban came into effect. So in terms of calculating the impact on Russia for their production going forward, if we take the total sales to the European Union, which were around 80 million euros on the 5th of February, and apply a ballpark price of around $100 per barrel, because refined oil products are more expensive than crude, and they do range in price, but $100 is a reasonable estimate, then that would indicate that the European Union is currently buying around 800,000 barrels of refined oil products from Russia every single day. And because of the different characteristics applied to refined oil, it's going to be very difficult for Russia to be able to find replacement markets for those lost sales. So this again represents a huge challenge from Russia's point of view. They've now lost another 800,000 barrels of oil per day that they'd been selling to the European Union. And once again, the price cap has absolutely no influence on that loss of sales. Going forward, there may be some issues with regards to the price cap, but as of today, there is absolutely zero impact because it only came into effect on the 5th of February. So what's the likely impact on Russia's oil industry of cutting back 500,000 barrels of oil per day? Well, firstly, and most obviously, there's the financial implications. The loss of 500,000 barrels at $60 per barrel equates to $30 million per day, which is just short of $11 billion of revenue that Russia is losing. But the financial implications are actually worse than that. If you're having to scale back your operations, then that means you may need to employ less people. So those people won't be getting paid. So therefore, they won't be then paying income tax and contributing to the state. But worse than that, they then won't be spending in their local markets. So there's the reverse multiplier effect. When you scale back an operation and make people redundant, that reduces the amount of capital circulating in the economy. So there will be a knock-on impact in terms of the loss of employment. But there's also the knock-on impact of the loss of profits, because the company that's selling the oil will make less profit, therefore it will pay less tax, contribute less to the state. So there's a lot of different implications from a financial point of view. But from the production side, there are also ramifications. As we've discussed before, there are dangers when you change the flow of oil coming out of your fields. That oil has been under the ground for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. And once it's been disturbed, you want to make sure that the flow is as consistent as possible. If you start trying to slow it down, then that could mean that the channels start to clog up and the flow gets interrupted, and it could result in major problems at some point in the future. Either the flow could become constricted and mean that you can't get as much oil out of the ground as you wanted to, or it could stop entirely. And one of the problems that Russia has is that it's cut its ties with a lot of the industry. So companies such as ExxonMobil, BP and Shell all set up joint ventures in Russia over the last 30 years, and they developed these facilities. They had the expertise because they were working on all of their other fields all around the world. Now, when Russia invaded Ukraine, all of those companies pulled out and no longer have any relationship. So Russia has lost access to all of that expertise and all of those people. So if it does encounter problems, it may not be able to fix them. So Russia really doesn't want to start fiddling around with its production and the flows of oil, just in case things got to go badly wrong. And just to remind you, a lot of these oil fields are in really inhospitable parts of the world. Russia is a massive country, and a lot of those oil fields are in very cold climates. So if you start playing around with the flow of oil, you could find yourself in serious difficulty. But the implications of reducing their production don't just stop at the production of oil. There's also the refineries within Russia. And Russia has 25 mega refineries. These are huge facilities. And those refineries have been set up to operate at a minimum capacity of around 60 or 70%. So the danger is when you start cutting back on production, that if you don't provide enough oil to all of those refineries, it gets uneconomic, so it becomes too expensive, and potentially may then have to close down one of your refineries. So again, that would have massive knock-on implications in terms of employment and tax and revenue for the Russian state. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we're now seeing some tangible impacts on Russia's oil and gas industry. The sanctions that have been applied against Russia over the course of the last 12 months have started to build. But the outright ban on the purchase of oil from the European Union that came into place on the 5th of December, followed up with the ban on a purchase of all refined products on the 5th of February, have really ramped things up over the last couple of months. Russia has seen a huge drop in its volume of oil sales over the course of the last couple of months, and it's struggling to be able to find replacement markets. Now, over the course of 2022, it did manage to sell more oil to India and China, but not enough to be able to offset that huge drop in volume from the European Union. And the announcement that Russia has now made that it's cutting back production by 500,000 barrels really tells us that there are major problems, because Russia would not have made this announcement if it didn't have to. And my guess is that this will be the first of a number of announcements that we see over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Because when you look at the data that we've been through in today's video, Russia was selling around 1.7 million barrels of oil directly to the European Union every single day. And this is seaborne oil. This isn't anything to do with the pipelines. So Russia immediately needs to find a new market for 1.7 million barrels of oil. But the situation is actually worse than that, because out of that 1.7, 800,000 barrels were refined oil. And as we discussed earlier, refined oil is a very different market. India and China are not really interested in paying a premium to Russia to take gasoline and diesel when they can do that themselves. And both have large oil refinery industries within their countries. So that's going to be a major challenge from Russia's point of view. And if it can't find replacement markets for that refined oil, that means that it's going to have to cut back on its own refinery process, because Russia is refining all of that crude oil within Russia and then selling the finished product. And of course, that will then have a knock-on implication, because if it can't move 800,000 barrels of oil through the refinery process, Firstly, it's going to have to cut back on its refineries, so it may have to close some of its refineries, make people redundant, all of those sort of issues. And then secondly, that 800,000 barrels of crude oil that was going to the refineries will then be passed back to the crude oil guys, and they're going to have to find markets for that. So Russia is becoming swamped with oil. It's got too much oil and not enough markets to sell them into. And that's why we're seeing a cutback in production, because Russia simply doesn't have anywhere to store this oil. So it can't keep pulling it out the ground because there's nowhere for it to go. And the real danger for Russia is that if they keep cutting back on production, if they stem the flow of a lot of these oil fields, that could cause them major problems in the future. They could become uneconomic or difficult to get started again. So there are some really big issues that Russia is facing right now. And I think we're at a tipping point in terms of the sanctions against Russia. It's taken a year for these sanctions to become effective. The financial sanctions and all of the other sanctions Russia can cope with. But the oil and gas sanctions are now really starting to kick in and are really hurting the Russian economy. Because what they're finding is that they can't find replacement markets. And of course, over the course of the next few months, we will see the impact of the price caps kicking in further. Because as you'll know if you follow the channel, Russia is still using ships provided by the G7, the European Union and Norway for around 75% of all of its transport of oil. So it won't be able to avoid those oil price caps. Now, as we saw earlier in the video, the oil price cap is actually an irrelevance at the moment because Russia is selling its oil for less than $60 per barrel. So it hasn't come across any situations where the oil price cap has actually taken effect yet. But I think what Russia is concerned about is that if we see a rise in oil prices over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, they're going to start hitting that cap. If the price of oil in the market gets up to $100, Russia doesn't want to be offering a $40 discount against those prices. But what's it going to do? What is the alternative option? It doesn't have enough vessels to be able to move the oil. And therefore, if it can't move the oil, it's going to be stuck with it. And the only other option then is to cut back on production, which has a knock-on implication in terms of the future production and also the level of refinery within Russia. So the walls are really starting to close in on Russia and the pressure is now building. And it will be interesting to see over the course of the next 3 to 6 months whether or not Russia just bites the bullet and carries on with this and starts to cut back production and just accept that it's going to see a massive reduction in its economy, or whether these sanctions actually do have their desired effect and get Russia around the negotiating table and agree some form of settlement with regards to what's happening in Ukraine. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.